We'd like to bow our heads and just pray here for a moment. Dear Lord, as we open your word, we thank you for how you've blessed our hearts already this morning, encouraged us and strengthened us in you, Lord. Strengthen our determination, our faith, our courage. Lord, we need it all. We need you so much. You truly are our only peace, Lord. So Lord, as we open your word, we again look to you by your Holy Spirit to guide and direct in everything that is said and done here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been thinking this week about the will of God, and specifically a very specific thought about the will of God. And I'm going to write it on the board. Don't be afraid to do the will of God. Don't be afraid to do the will of God. Appreciate your prayers. I want to look over here in Luke, and I feel like the Lord has given us a message that points to a familiar story that we've already talked about this morning, read a lot of verses about, sung about. This time of year, we're getting ready specifically to celebrate it, you know, the 25th, although many of us are already celebrating. I've had moments where we celebrate Christmas. So I want to look at the Christmas story and talk about not being afraid to do the will of God. You know what the will of God is? The will of God in your life will cause you, if you decide to do the will of God, well, there's a lot of things it's going to affect in your life. Let's say it that way. There's choices you're going to have to make to do the will of God. You're not going to just naturally flow to the will of God necessarily in your life. But by choices, you can do the will of God. And we can see the will of God as all these choices I'm making. And you know what? Some of these choices are hard. But the will of God is your salvation. That's what His will is. There's no secret here. There's no ulterior motive. God's not trying to make you jump through hoops that no one else has to jump through or do things no one else has to do. He simply knows what it takes to get you to heaven. And He knows how to work His will, which is the salvation of mankind. We don't always consider it that way because we think about the fact there are so many peace people who have not chosen the will of God, have not chosen His salvation. And so in our mind then, there's just a select few that God has somehow maybe chosen to be saved, but that's an erroneous thinking that comes to humans. And I'm not saying maybe we haven't thought of it that way, but that's the way our minds work sometimes. The will of God is the salvation of all mankind. It's just that it's offered through a submission to His will, a willingness to take the salvation that He's offered to us. And you know, I want to think about that as we look at the story of Jesus' birth. And specifically, I was thinking a lot about Mary. Now, as I thought about her and God brought things, I thought about other people too, and we may mention them some today, about the will of God and how it was brought to pass in Mary's life and what the results of that were. And so let's look here in Luke in the first chapter in the 26th verse. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So let's not miss the story here. All right. There is a young lady who is engaged and espoused to a man named Joseph. Now, our impression of this is that this is something she's excited about. She's looking forward to. I imagine Joseph is too. They're maybe have known each other. Who knows? We don't know how long, but maybe they've known each other or they're coming to know each other, however it came. And And they're excited about getting to spend their lives together. That's how it works for us. And we don't, you know, if we're fixing to marry somebody, it's somebody I'm excited about being with. When it came time for Amber and I to be married, there was a lot of excitement. I was looking forward to spending my life with Amber. I chose her because that's what I wanted in life. That she was the one I wanted to be with for the rest of my life. And so there's a lot of excitement there. So I'm just picturing that this is something Mary's looking forward to. And in looking forward to it, there's a lot of ideas she has about it. There's maybe the family she's going to have, the time she's going to spend with Joseph, how they're going to have this time in their home together, and then they'll have some children, and their family will be raised up, and they'll just get to live life like they've seen so many others live life before. But here comes an angel to her, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, to the virgin's name was Mary. So he came to see Mary, and the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." All right, that's great. I'm getting ready to get married. We're going to have our family. We're going to spend our lives together. We're going to raise them and enjoy life. And on top of all that, the Lord has seen fit to send this angel to me and just tell me that I found favor with him. You know, things just look bright and glorious. I mean, how could they get better? And then he says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." And I just see Mary's mind in this moment going, "Hold on. Okay, wait a minute. I mean, this isn't bad news. Don't get me wrong, but this is not what I've been sitting here thinking about. Things are not exactly going just like I planned for them to go. What's happening here?" So he said, "You'll call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, in our spiritualness sometimes, and I'm not mocking us at all, I'm just saying the way our minds go sometimes, we're like, "Well, then she should just be happy. I mean, there should be no questions. An angel has just told you, and here's what you get to do." But this isn't what she planned. And no matter how much she really is, you know, submitted to the will of the Lord and wants this, and this is great news, there's still a question because it's happening to her. Now, if it was, she was, the angel said, "By the way, this is going to happen to your cousin Elizabeth and your other cousin Mary," if there was another cousin Mary, then she's like, "Oh, great, wonderful news." But it changes things when God comes and changes our life and our plans. It's not always just easy to just say, "Okay, let's go." But Mary had questions. She said, "How shall this be, seeing not I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, and explained to her the whole situation, explained how Elizabeth was also going to have a child, because with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary's gotten this news, it's good news, but it's a change in her life. The angels explained to her how it's going to happen, everything, and she said, "You know what? You know, I'm the Lord's, and if this is his will, then behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. You know, this was a little step. And we can say, "All right." And maybe in Mary's mind, she's like, "Okay, you know what? This isn't exactly what I planned, but the Lord's told me, and I'm good with that. Things are good." All right? Well, let's follow the story on a little bit. Matthew 1 and 18. So, many times, the will of the Lord happens just this way to us. you know, the news comes along, and I remember some things and hearing that feeling like the Lord wanted us to do something, realizing it was going to change our life a little bit, but you say, okay, let's do that. And it starts to happen, and suddenly you realize that wasn't the end of submitting to the will of God. Just in that initial moment when he tells you, I've got a mission for you, and you say, okay, I'm willing to do that. Well, then that mission begins to happen. And you begin to realize that for this to finish, there's a lot more left that God's going to be calling for in my life. The will of God's going to call for more than just a moment of saying, okay, yeah, let's go do this, Lord. Let's do this thing. With the process of the will of God, so many times there's other sacrifices that come. There's other willingness to step through places that I wouldn't have ever stepped through. And I think sometimes we see Mary and Joseph, we're like, well, that was, we're looking at it in hindsight. We've heard the story over and over, and we don't really think about how that, as glorious a moment as this was, all the moments that they were having to say, yes, Lord, your will, not mine, not my desires, not what I wanted, but what your plans are, Lord. And so here's a moment where it says the 18th verse of this first chapter of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And so here we come again. All right, the will of the Lord, Mary's submitted to that. So everything's just going to line up perfect now, right? Everything's just going to be smooth sailing from this moment. But here's this moment with Joseph. And evidently, he's become aware. And in our minds, we can think, well, he's just going to be like, oh, yes, all right, this is great news. But he was about to put her away. He was about to end. How long had they dreamed about being married? How long had they dreamed about being together? And the will of God has just come. And right now on the surface, it looks like all of that is gone. Either Mary told him or somehow, you know, whatever happened that he found out. And that moment is here. He's become aware. And maybe, I wonder if she didn't expect him just to be totally on board and know exactly what was happening and be just everything be fine. Well, that's not what happened. And now Mary, you know, the hopes and dreams you had are, and after the Lord told you this, you didn't expect them to disappear, but they're just coming crashing down right now in this moment. It's not always easy. But the Lord is faithful. Look what happened. It says, you know, he said he was thinking on these things, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord. And I just see that the Lord knew who he was dealing with. He knew they were human and that these issues would arise. But he also knew they were willing to do the will of God. And if he spoke to them and told them what to do, they would submit themselves to it. And so an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth their firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, I wonder, just a thought, little side thought. I wonder what they were planning to name their first child. Well, that's not important. Okay, maybe not for everybody, but for a lot of people it is. A lot of people have... You know, they have, Amber and I had names that we wanted to name our first child. We had names lined up. I mean, none of these names are by mistake. But he said his name's going to be Jesus. You see how it's just like when we enter the will of God, we truly have to be ready for him to just have control. He gets to call the shots. But it's for a purpose. But he gets to call the shots. And they weren't, whatever the name was, that's not what the name of the first child was going to be. It's going to be Jesus. And the devil can get us hung up on so many, even the littlest of things. When God calls us to do his will, we can get held up on the littlest things. Do you know this thing, as small as it might seem? And to some people would say, why would you even worry about that with everything else going on? It could have been the very thing that hung them up. Wait a minute. Okay, so all this has happened, and we've endured maybe some public ridicule, and we went through this moment thinking everything was crashing down, and so we got all that taken care of now, and we don't even get to name him? So insignificant, but we have to have a heart that just doesn't let the big things or the little things interfere with doing the will of God. Let him have control. Let him make all the shots in your life. Look, all of this is for a purpose. We're heading somewhere. The Lord is heading somewhere with this message to let us see how it works out when people submit to the will of God. So there's something at the end of this. But don't let the devil hang you up over little things. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. He can take your sadness and turn to joy. That's not exactly how those words go in that song, but that's what it says in effect. Give them all to Jesus. Don't get hung up on little things. You know, okay, so I'm just talking you through it. You know the story. You know probably what's coming next, but have you thought about it? So all this has happened. They've submitted to it. Okay, yeah, his name's going to be Jesus. Okay, yes, Lord, I'll take her and we'll get married. And all this has happened. And so it comes time for the birth. Do you know how far it is from Nazareth to Bethlehem? It's about 70 miles, according to the information I could find. You know, when Amber and I were expecting, I'm thinking about Laurie right now, I was concerned about which hospital we went to for the moment of delivery, because there was one that was across the river, and it was January, and what if there's an ice storm? And this is a little, a dad being a little bit silly, but still, there was concerns I had. What if there's an ice storm, we have to go across that bridge? How are we going to get there safely and quickly? Because it's all of 12 miles away. And we're going to have to drive a car 12 miles to get to the hospital in time safely for this baby to be born. So then I think we'll go to the hospital that's not on that side of the river. But we're going to have to go this way, because if we go down 6th Street, there's a point there where the road just kind of goes off into the swamp. And if it is icy and we start to slide in those 10 miles to this hospital, are we going to be able to safely navigate that port in a car? Are we going to get there in time? Over here in Luke, the 2nd chapter. It says, first verse, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now, if this had been Mary's dad maybe saying, "Hey, you know what? I think you need to go to Bethlehem to have this baby," they might have been able to say, "You know what, Dad, 70 miles on a donkey or walkie expecting a baby, I think we're going to stay here." But situations in life that only God, that's so important to get a hold of this right here. Situations in life that only God could have made different. Only God could have saved them from it. Only God could have prevented this from happening. This is Caesar Augustus, and there's not anybody else in the world that's going to go tell Caesar, "Hey, you can't do this. That's not going to happen." Only God could have intervened here and caused them not to have to go at this time. And you realize how easily God could have done that? He so easily could have just made Caesar not even think about this, just take it from his mind. Or he could have said, hey there, Caesar, why don't you wait 2 weeks, okay? Wait 2 weeks, and then it'll be a little better situation to go ahead and do this tax. But the Lord allowed it to happen this way, where Mary is about to have a baby, and she decides it. This would roughly be, if you traveled, just looking at some information, you could sort it out. But basically, you could do about 20 miles a day if all the situation is perfect. Now, y'all follow the thinking. I'm sure a lot of you husbands in here that have, y'all have families that have children, you're thinking about asking your wife at this stage of being ready to have a baby to get on a donkey for 4 days. This isn't going to happen in 4 days. I don't know how long it took them to get there, but this trip is going to take longer than 4 days, most likely. So this was a process that was very difficult. And only the Lord could have had it different. And it was such an easy thing for him to do. But he allowed it to happen this way. Do you see that, okay, we've gone this far. We're about to have the baby. We've submitted to the will of God. Things have come right to the point. But now we got to do this? Are you kidding me? We don't like to think of thinking that way before the Lord, but it'd be a real struggle in this moment not to have those kinds of thoughts going through your mind. And most likely she dealt with them, because we have an adversary for our soul that Mary had, just like all of us, who's like, this is a chance I'm not passing. This is an opportunity I'm not passing. I'm going to make sure Mary's thought about this. Now, you know, I'm just talking about the way that the temptations trial come to me, and the way I've seen them come to other people, and the fact that I know Mary's the same person. I'd be very surprised if she didn't have to battle some of these thoughts. Whatever the case may be, we have to battle those thoughts when we're called to the will of God. Right to the moment, and now it's going to happen this way, Lord? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Lord, how can I do this? How can I possibly do this? But the Lord doesn't call us to anything that he will not help us manage to do. You know, I thought so much the Lord's dealt with me about the prayer of enablement. So many times we want the prayer of deliverance. We're like, Lord, just change everything. Just knock Caesar off his throne and forget about this tax and bring me Bethlehem right here to Nazareth so I don't have to go 70 miles to get there. But sometimes the Lord's calling us to pray the prayer and submit to his will of enablement. Lord, this is not going to be easy. Lord, I want to do your will. I want you to have your way in my life. But Lord, this is not easy. Help me to be able to do whatever you called me to. I don't know how many times in the last few years I've prayed that prayer since the Lord dealt with me about that. Enable me to do what you need me to do. And you know how many times I felt like not going or actually felt like I wasn't even able to go. And the Lord's made me just able enough to do whatever was needed to be done. And sometimes maybe there would be things that I get through the moment and then, wow, how I felt before and how I felt afterwards. I don't know how I did that in between, but I did. The Lord helped me to do it. He made a way. You know, so many times we pass on the will of God because of what's before and what's after. It's got to be perfect. God's got to give me the prayer of deliverance. If I'm going to do his will, he's going to deliver me from these things and make me where I'm feeling like it. I don't have to take that first step in the River Jordan. I don't have to put my feet in the water. You know, if y'all know that part of the story, the water spread when they put their foot in it. All right? And so many times we're passing on the will of God. I'm just not a direct accusation to anybody, but as humans, we're passing on the will of God because we're trying to get deliverance first. Sometimes God is just looking to enable us. to go do what he's called us to do. And you know what I would say? That right here is a situation like this that Mary went through and Joseph went through, where God enabled them to do what needed to be done. You know, we don't really have the part of the story here, but he gave them a stable. That's not really where a baby wants to be born, but you know what? He was born there, and he made it just fine. He made it in the middle of the animals, and however clean they were able to get this environment, I don't know. He made it just fine. All right? Lord, help us to be willing to not be afraid of the will of God. He will help us do what's needed to be done. You know, there's another part of the story I wanted to make sure and get to. It's in Matthew, the second chapter. The second chapter and the 13th verse. And this is the story, of course, in the second chapter here of the wise man and of how they came and Herod sent them on the way. They found the child there and they gave him the gifts, and then they were warned of God that they should not go and return to Herod. And they parted their own way into another country. So let's just let our minds take in this part of the story for a minute. All these things we've talked about, the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it seems that they didn't go back to Nazareth. And I almost wonder if, like, look, God, you helped us do that. Okay, we're just staying here a little while. I don't know. That's kind of my own thinking about that. But anyways, all of that has happened, and now the baby has been born. They've made it through that. They made it through getting the trip down there, getting to the stable in time, getting it somehow clean enough where everything went okay. They had a place to lay him. They had what they needed in this situation. Even though they were far from home, they managed to have what they needed. This has all happened. And so now they're sitting here, and from the story, a couple of years. We don't know exactly the time here for sure, but we draw that kind of from what we see in where Herod killed all the babies under 2 years. Whatever the case may be, they got here, things have settled down maybe a little bit. All right? And so maybe they're thinking everything's going to be okay, but look here in the 13th verse. And it says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." So, just as everything seemed to settle down, here they go, going off to Egypt. And I don't know how far it was, I didn't look that up, but we know the trip that it took to get to the land of Canaan for the children of Israel. Now, there was a shorter way back, but there was a trip to be had here at this moment, just when you think everything's settling down. But we see that they got up in a moment, and they went. And it was a good thing they did, because it says, "Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." And so, they could have been afraid. They could have been afraid to go to Egypt. They could have held back for the will of God. But you know, if they would have, what happened? You realize the times where we're, "Well, Lord, I don't know if I can do that." Do you know that that might just be saving you from something? That if you could see everything, you're like, "Oh no, let's get over here quick. Let's go now. Let's get up and go." But we don't see everything. The Lord sees everything. And sometimes when we're holding back in fear, the real honesty is we should be more afraid to be staying right where we are. Because the Lord's moving us for a purpose. His purpose is the salvation of our souls. And maybe physically you're not standing in danger, but there's a reason why God's moving you. And his ultimate desire is your soul. And maybe it's drawing late today. And maybe we know it's about time to end the message. What are you more worried about, your physical life or your spiritual life? What matters more? If you lose your physical life, what effect has that on where you end up? You lose your physical life, that's not taken into account. But if you lose your soul this morning, if you're not caring enough about your soul to be willing to do the will of God, do you know that's what affects where you're going to spend eternity? And you know when you've been in eternity for 1,000 years, how many thoughts you're going to have about this moment? If this moment causes you to be sitting in heaven 1,000 years from now, time ends, so we really won't be keeping time there, but you know, in the stretch of our mind here on earth, think about it that way. Then how bad was it to be willing to submit to the will of God? Was it really a bad thing? How many regrets are you going to have about saying, you know what, my soul means more than my physical life? And if this is the will of God, then I'm going to take it. Do you think you're going to regret that while you sit in heaven? Realizing that as long as you've been there, you haven't been there half as long as you're going to be there. Because you're going to be there for eternity. But in this moment, if you choose not to value your soul, if you choose to be more afraid of what might happen to you in this life, whether it's what people might think of you, or what you might miss out on, or what you might not get to do. You know, after you've been in hell for 1,000 years, and you're still not burned up, and things still haven't ended, you know, I just believe you're probably going to remember this moment. Whatever it is. And do you think you're going to be happy with your choice to not value your soul? To treat the things of God lightly as something to be taken if it doesn't interfere with my life. If it doesn't change my hopes and dreams, then it's all right. I can take it. I want to be a Christian. I want to hang around this thing. I grew up here and I know these people and I don't want to leave it. So if it doesn't interfere too much with my life, then hey, you know, it's all right. Let's bring it along. You know, we can get to thinking, well, I know just who that's talking about, so to speak, in our life sometimes. But you know, this message is to me this morning. It's to you. It's if you've been standing around the outside for some time, then it's to you this morning. If you just come to Christ and you're young in Christ and you're growing in Christ, it's to you this morning. But you know what? If you've been knowing Christ almost all your life, and that's decades now of your life, you know, it's still a message to you this morning. What is the value of not valuing your soul? What's it going to bring in your life? What is it that's worth not valuing your soul? What is it that you're going to sit there in eternity and say, I'm sure glad I held on to this thing. I'm sure glad I didn't let what God was trying to do in my life interfere with this. You know, I want to be so clear. Because we can so easily push a message like this off onto other people. But there are things God has dealt with me on this week that apply to this in my life. And if I choose the will of God, oh, thank the Lord for what has come from that in my life. But if I don't, I'm not excluded from the effect of that. Just because I've been saved and because, well, Lord, I preached last Sunday. This ain't going to affect me the same way, right? We're human. Every single one of us here, we're human. Created to be the children of God. And our lives are based on the choice we make to be afraid of submitting to the Lord, to pull back from it, or to say, Lord, have your way. I could I could send you, I've got verses down here about how this worked out. But they're in Hebrews, and if you want them, I'll share them with you later. I'm not going to share them with you right now. But it worked out pretty good. I'd say it was worth it. I just think when Mary was sitting there looking at Jesus on the cross, another place. Hard. But here he is, for what God sent him for. And because I was willing to submit, I'm here kneel at this cross, seeing my son that God gave to me. Save, make it available that the whole world could be saved right here in this moment. Because I was willing to say, yes, Lord. You know, who knows what's going to happen in your life? But if you want things to work out where you're at those moments in your life and it's a hard place, you can have some joy and say, Lord, this is not easy, but Lord, praise your name. Your word, your salvation is going out. Souls can be saved. Souls are being saved. My soul is safe. Then choose the will of God. Don't be afraid to do that. Have courage. Don't be in the multitude that are scared and draw back. Choose the will of the Lord in your life. You pray for me.